all the children gone. Hell on earth is such gloss. Even mother, motherfuckers. So much color, all the sun affected from the place of play. Seems to happen every day. Almost like it's done for pain. But who's to know and who's to say? Your children made foot. Anger hides the clothes you wore. Just what the witness saw. Most of them are never found. Although a few will come around and drive the children to the ground. Sometimes you see underground.
All right, welcome to the show, guys. This is the Punch Bowl, William Repillum, and please go to Republic Broadcasting and smash the donate button to donate the much-needed funded so we can continue to deliver the truth unfiltered. The truth about, well, the truth about what we're not supposed to tell the truth about. The truth about what all the so-called truthers out there in the sort of like alternative media still won't tell the truth about. It's only like us folks and some other brave folks, very few of us out there telling the actual truth, that we're not making any money on this. That's for sure. Well, so there's people like us out there, and we need more of us. We need more of us to start speaking up. You know, I noticed an interesting phenomenon, and I think it can be applied on just about everything. And one of those things is how we have the ability to do things differently in a way that will be more effective for us, make us more successful. Part of the reason why we're not successful in the area of controlling our own destiny as nations in the political sphere is because we simply just don't do it. We haven't developed the muscles to do it. And right now we're flailing about trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. What's going to be effective, because we have this horrific monster that song that I just played by Dirty Rotten Imbeciles, their name doesn't do them justice, but they wrote a song called Abduction. And it's a song about child abduction, and it's a video. If you go on YouTube, well, the LGBTQ agenda is child abduction. It's the same thing. It's a monster that abducts your children and cuts off their genitals, brainwashes them, and cuts off their genitals. And it is a disgusting, horrible monster. That is what it is. That it has to abduct your children, take them away from you, and punish you for saying anything about it. So that's why I played that. And, you know, last night we played a video clip for just a quick few minutes, and I'm going to replay it again tonight. It's called How the Trans... Hold on, I scrolled wrong. How the trans movement conquered American life, transgender empire. We just played a few minutes of it. I want to play it again because it goes over the four previously men that converted trans to women, and they are the authors of the queer and gender theory that was born, spawned in the late 1980s by these four transgender, whatever you call them, And I looked them up on Wikipedia, and they're four out of the four. The first three are all Jews. The first three of the four. I wasn't able to verify the fourth one was a Jew. That was Susan Stryker. But the name, the names are Gail. Hold on, I gotta pull up. I can't ever figure out how to get back to my stupid chat. Okay, here we go. All right. The names are Judith Butler. Go to Wikipedia real quick. Then you'll see that, well, I'll read it. It's interesting enough. Early life. Judith Butler was born on February 24th, 1956 in Cleveland, Ohio, to a family of Hungarian Jewish and Russian Jewish descent. While most of their maternal grandmother's family perished in the Holocaust. Right, in the Holo-hoax. Okay, all right, so there's one. Judith Butler. Judith Butler. Okay, now let's go back to the other one. God, is it just... I'm getting on my... okay, here we go. I'm new. I'm used to using my phone. Now I'm using my laptop. So now we got Gail Rubin. Gail Rubin. Now consider that these are a protective class of people. So criticizing them gets you thrown in prison, I guess, in some places. Here, in some places, even in the United States. So here we go. Gail Rubin. Early life. Rubin was raised in a middle-class Jewish home and then segregated South Carolina. She attended segregated public schools, her classes only being desegregated when she was a senior. So I guess is an American cultural anthropologist. Best known as an activist and theorist of sex and gender politics, she has written on a range of subjects including feminism, sadomasochism, prostitution, pedophilia, pornography, and lesbian literature, as well as anthropological studies and histories of sexual subcultures, especially focused on the urban context. Her essay, 1984, Thinking Sex, is widely regarded as a founding art of gay and lesbian studies, sexuality studies, and queer theory. Associate Professor of Anthropology, Women's Studies, University of Michigan. All right. And then, okay, the next one is Sandy Stone. Sandy Stone. Alaquette Roseanne Sandy Stone, born in 1936, American academic theorist, media theorist, author, and performance artist. She's currently Associate Professor, Founding Director of the Advanced Communication Technology Laboratory. I mean, these are clearly what were men prior, but it doesn't say that here. Okay, early life. Born in Jersey City to the Hebrew name Zelig Ben Nausen Cohen. Stone is Jewish, descended from European immigrants. Okay, every single time. Every single time. So who said it wasn't the Jews? Who was that? It's not the Jews. Get these Nazis off RBN. It's not the Jews. Stop saying it's the Jews. No. Leave those Jews alone. Those poor Jews. Everything they went through with the Holo-hoax. Everything they went through. By the way, phone number to call in is 512-248-8252. Please do call in and contribute to the show. I want to hear from you. All right. So the last one we have, which I wasn't able to verify was Jewish, was Susan Stryker. And she's named specifically in the video. Maybe they named her in the video because she's not the Jewish one and they didn't want to be labeled as anti-Semitic because they don't name the Jews in the video. So that's what we have to come and help do after the fact. We have to come and tie the final, you have to make the final tie together over here. That's what we're doing here at RBN. We go to the bottom of the rabbit hole and we tie everything together as best we can. Susan O'Neill Stryker, born 1961, American professor, historian, author, filmmaker, theorist. Okay, so it doesn't say what her male name was when she was born, a man. Focus on human sexuality, professor. Stryker serves advisory counsel to messaging extraterrestrial intelligence. On the advisory board of Digital Transgender Archive. Well, I didn't say anything about being Jewish that I see here. So, three of the four are Jews of the origins of queer gender studies. Let's go ahead and roll the clip, Mike. Just play it again. I know we played it last night, but I think it was just for, we'll play it for just 2-3 minutes, whatever.
The transgender movement has conquered American life. Activist teachers have converted classrooms into propaganda. Influencers are driving billions of social media impressions, and doctors are cutting up kids in the name of gender-affirming care. The story goes deeper than you might imagine, featuring rage-filled intellectuals, a trans billionaire benefactor, and large-scale medical experiments in a Detroit ghetto. This is the story of the transgender empire, how it came into being, and how it hopes to change the face of American society forever. In order to understand what's happening with the trans movement, we have to begin with a short history lesson. In the late 1980s, a group of writers, including Judith Butler, Gail Rubin, Sandy Stone, and Susan Stryker, established the disciplines of queer theory and transgender studies. They argued that gender was a social construct used to oppress racial and sexual minorities. They denounced the categories of man and woman as a false binary that upholds a system of heteronormativity, the white, male, heterosexual power structure. These writers made the case that these systems must be ruthlessly deconstructed and turned to dust. And the most visceral, dramatic way to achieve this is transgenderism. If a man can become woman, if a woman can become man, they believed, the entire structure of creation could be toppled.
A trans movement manifesto is intended as a secular sermon that unabashedly advocates embracing a disruptive and refigurative genderqueer or transgender power as a spiritual resource.
This is Susan Stryker, one of the founding theorists of the trans movement. In her best-known essay on performing transgender rage, Stryker argues that the transsexual body is a technological construction that represents a war against Western society. I am a transsexual, and therefore I am a monster, Stryker writes. And this body, Stryker says, is destined to channel its rage and revenge against the naturalized heterosexual order, against traditional family values, and against the hegemonic oppression of nature itself. There's something important to understand here. The transgender movement is inherently political, using the construction of personal identity to advance a collective political vision. Some trans activists even believe their movement represents the future of Marxism. In a collection of essays titled Transgender Marxism, Rosa Lee argues that trans people can serve as the new vanguard of the proletariat, promising to abolish heteronormativity in the same way that Orthodox Marxism promised to abolish capitalism. Lee writes, in a different era, Marxists spoke of the construction of a new socialist man as a crucial task in the broader process of socialist construction. Today, in a time of both rising fascism and an emergent socialist movement, our challenge is transsexualizing our Marxism. We should think of the project of transition to communism in our time as including the transition to new communist selves, new ways of being and relating to one another. This is the great project of the transgender movement.
We're good. Okay, yeah, we're good. I just wanted to reiterate that because of the fact that I discovered that all of those founders were Jews. And tonight's theme is Semitism is a crime. And we really need lots of T-shirts that say Semitism is a crime. Because it is. Semitism is the most egregious crime against humanity ever committed. Semitism. It can be summed up in that one word. Doesn't that just take the wind out of the sails of someone calling you an anti-Semite? Not an anti-Semite. It's just that Semitism is the greatest crime ever committed against humanity. Well, what are you going to say to that? You're an anti-Semite. No, I'm not an anti-Semite. It's just that Semitism is the most heinous crime ever committed against humanity. Do you care about that? Do you care that Semitism is the greatest crime ever committed against humanity? I didn't invent that concept. That concept wasn't invented in my crazy head. That concept is just what is. It's just what is. So the LGBTQ and these three Jewish women are just an expression, and the transgender movement and abducting your children against your will and cutting off their genitals and putting you in jail if you don't like it, that's just another example of Semitism. Semitism. So I don't hear people saying Semitism is a crime enough. Because it is. Semitism is a crime against humanity. It's a crime against God and humanity. And they're openly stating that nature is an oppressive force. Oh, we got Jeremy on the phone. Let's get him on here. Jeremy, happy to have you on. Welcome.
Yo, just got in from shooting pool with my Kentucky niggas, and we're listening to your show. I mean, so you're exposing the fact that it's the Chinese Jesuits that are behind trannyism, right? All these Chinese Jesuits and these Russians are pushing this stuff on us. I mean, look at Biden's cabinet. It's just full of Jesuits.
I know.
You know, in all seriousness, like, I usually dismiss that stuff, but I guess the Jesuits were some sort of a Jewish thing to, get into infiltrate the Catholic Church. I didn't really realize that, but I've heard different people speak on that topic. I don't know. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really looked that deep into the whole Jesuits thing. But from what I have looked into it, yeah, I think it was its origins were Jewish. But I can't really speak intelligently about it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, let's just give that the benefit of the doubt. Let's say that's a thing, that Jesuits are Jews. Like, if you're calling out Jesuits, and, you know, you're deflecting from the real thing, because if they are Jews that infiltrated the Catholic Church, then just say it's Jewish. You have to identify the enemy, because identification of a problem is a problem half solved, right? So even if it doesn't matter what they call themselves, like, they're saying they're Jewish, that's, it's Jewish power. You read An Empire of Their Own, where Jews brag about controlling upper academia, Harvard and Yale. You read The Chosen Getting In. Well, my mistake. The Chosen Getting In is where they brag about infiltrating academia. An Empire of Their Own, Gabler, the Jew Gabler, where they brag about controlling Hollywood. And you just look at, you know, the GTA, the JTA, the Jewish Telegraph Agency, and Haaretz. They brag about controlling all of these institutions. Like, they're saying they're Jews. Like, we don't know how to say it.
That's what David references, all of those references. Hey, Jeremy, I don't know if you can hear the music. We're up against a break, so can you stay on? All right.
Yeah, I got
we'll
you.
Be right back.
Comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back to the Punch Bowl, William, your regular host. I'm calling in. This is J-Dog 2020, filling in the airwaves. And we're just talking about the deflection of saying, oh, it's the Jesuits. Oh, it's the Chinese. You know, it's the Jews. I mean, you look at the Weimar Republic in Germany in the 1920s. That's what it was. I mean, and when Hitler and the crew, you know, the dude with the cool mustache, like, kicked them all out. They came over here, and they started infiltrating over here. So there's a whole documentary on this. I don't know if you've watched it, William, but it's part of The Greatest Story Never Told. They include a documentary that's actually pro-LGBTQ. The documentary is lamenting the fact that the evil Nazis kicked out all of the faggots and sodomites and pedophiles from Germany when they came to power. So it's funny that it's pro-LGBTQ, but it's so like red-pilling when you watch it. You talk about red-pilled. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about? Part of the
Oh, yeah.
We're never told?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. The very beginning. And you know, that was really moving, especially the end when, you know, the tragedy, when you digest the tragedy of World War II, and you just, it's so enormous, the consequence of that, that war was the determining factor of the direction humanity was going to go, and Hitler was trying to steer us in the right direction.
And, I would argue that Weimar Republic and that whole tranny scene. I mean, you had your first transgender surgeries there. You know, and all the books that the National Socialists burned, I mean, those were like transvestite books and medical books on changing genders. And that was a precursor to the sexual revolution. They were doing a bit of a dry run in Germany as to what they were going to do over the globe, and they ended up successfully pulling it off in America. I mean, that's the red pill there, you know, for people that want to really get woke. You want to get woke? Yeah, that's what it was. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to get woke. The connotation's not probably quite right. I used to use that word, though. I used to use it like woke because before it took on – when did it took on that – in about 3 years ago, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came on the scene. I think that's when the term woke became what it is now, right? Because I used to use it and say, yeah, I'm aware of what's going on. I know people on the left would say they're woke. They know what's going on. And it didn't have the specific meaning that it now has, right? How long ago did that happen? I just want to know if I was out to lunch.
No, you're right, man. It was just a few years ago. I mean, we would say awakened or red-pilled is probably like our version of it, but their version is when you brainwash these people into thinking that there are multiple genders and all of that. I mean, they would say then they're woke on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got
Paul now. We got Paul in California. So let's do like a little round table. You, me, and Paul. If Paul, Paul, you there?
Yeah. What do you guys think of my Friday night so far? It's a Jim Beam and Taco Bell Friday night. And you just triggered me with the Jesuit thing. And I was thinking, because I'm a narcissistic, cisgendered white male, kind of like Jeremy. You know, Jeremy can't stay off the radio because he's a cisgendered narcissistic white male.
Yes.
And there should be a tab to go to, like, on Republic, so it'd be like Paul from California tutorials. Because I've called in on this Jesuit issue multiple times on this and other stations, and this is a well-traveled road. Other researchers have done good work, but Miles Mathis did an excellent paper on the Jesuits. It's quite lengthy, complete with illustrations and pictures. And you can see very early on, many of the founders and the prominent figures had the classic hook nose and Jewish physiognomy well known to all of us. So even though, quote, all Jesuits are not Jews, the fact of the matter is from the get-go, it was essentially a Jewish operation. And you know the way these people roll. I mean, if it doesn't start out as Jewish, they're going to compromise it. They're going to get in on it and infiltrate it and control it and guide it. And that's what they're doing now. And I think we need to go back to the time when these transgenders and queers and everybody else that's our enemy fears coming out. In other words, there was a time in this country where it was a stigma. There was no pride. There was actually shame and hiding in the closet. And now it's like being promoted with parades and government sanctions. So it's like, you know, it's the one thing about give an inch will take a mile. We cannot even give a quarter of an inch. That's the lesson that we have to learn now, is we cannot give these people even a quarter inch, because we know now what's coming next, what they're going to do. The minute, like I jokingly said on a show previously, I have zero tolerance for tolerance, okay? Because tolerance is our enemy, and I never thought I would feel this way, because I really am anti-Semitic in terms of I dislike Arabs. But those people got it right, man. When you fear being thrown off a when you fear being thrown off a building, you're gonna keep your mouth shut, you know. And I think that's
we're running right into the break. Stay on. We'll be right back. All right, folks. All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Tonight's theme is Semitism is a crime. Semitism needs to go. Semitism is the bane of humanity's existence. Semitism is a threat to all of humanity. Semitism is the world's foremost problem, as Henry Ford now says. And now in Henry Ford's name, they've got all these Semitic institutions that have infiltrated his, you know, everything he was trying to tell us, and all of his institutions. The Ford Foundation is now a completely Semitic arm of Semitism, forcing all this crap down our throats and trying to kill us all. That's their end game. So, Paul, you were saying about, I forgot what you were saying. What were you saying?
I love that. I forgot what I was saying. You know, I just was on one of those little rants with little punctuation, and then forgive me. I mean, normally when I call, I'm either straight or under the slight influence of caffeine. Now I'm under the slight influence of actually just one drink, and God forbid you get me under two or three drinks, it could get even really off the rails. But, yeah, you know, look, we all know what the score is. It's not going to stop. They're not going to let up. They're emboldened. They've been emboldened for a long time, and it's really... There's an old book that a friend of mine recommended to me years ago. It's called Fear of the Jews Syndrome by Ray Jedrzejczyk. You guys can look that up. Fear of the Jews Syndrome. And I did not read the whole thing, just excerpts and all that. But essentially, we are all operating because of the media and the government. And we are essentially, whether we admit it or not, we are fearful of the repercussions of, you know, being straight white men thinking what we think, saying what we say. And it really should be the opposite. They should fear us. Okay? They should be living in pale settlements, or they should be living in ghettos, afraid of us, afraid of coming into normal society, afraid of using our currency. I would pass laws that they cannot use our currency at all. They got to use their own shekels, and they cannot trade in, deal with, buy, sell, purchase Gentile dollars under penalty of death. That's a way forward, gentlemen.
Yeah, Paul, so, like, let's look back in history. So the Jews got kicked out all the time. They always get kicked out. And then they always come back. So, I mean,
this
is
why,
yeah, it just isn't working. Kicking them out's not working, because they always just pry their way back in. They come back with a crowbar, like Oliver Cromwell in England in the 1640s. Or they come back and they pry your borders open. First, they pry themselves into your... I mean, they're really good at using that crowbar and bribing people and using the money. So
did they have catapults?
We gotta think of something a little more. I don't know. It's just maybe we need more divine intelligence, Paul. What do you think? I mean. You think we're going to be able to come up with the solution on our own, or should we sequester divine intelligence for this? Even Paul from California maybe could pray for divine intelligence and come up with an idea, because you are at the forefront of pushing the idea of that, you know, and you're right, because we don't have an immune system to this cancer, this Semitic cancer.
We've been conditioned to think that we don't, and it's really simple. Look, I mean, I've always said the same sort of thing for years now, that I use the playground analogy or the school bully analogy. We probably all have those experiences where I had a couple in, like, late elementary school. I'm talking about maybe after fourth or fifth grade, and then a couple in junior high where there was just that one guy, right, and for whatever reason, you know, you never did anything, right? You never did anything to... against him, but there was just one guy, or maybe more than one, that just had it in for you, that didn't like you, and that sooner or later you're going to have to fight him. You know, just always, because there was no other way out of it, and pretty soon it happened, right? And that's all this is. I mean, just sooner or later we know we're going to have to get into a fight, and we don't want it. You know, we don't like it, but it's like it's going to happen. It always has happened in the past. We just have to get comfortable with the idea that, hey, you know what? It's not of our choosing, right? We didn't choose to have this done to our society, and we didn't choose to be, you know, victims, right? They're making us victims, and we have to react like we're pissed off. And that's the only thing that is going to work. It's the only thing that ever has worked, and it's just the way it is.
Okay. What else? So I got to ask you, though, Paul. So the strategy. So they've done this. You guys were saying this earlier on the show today, on Richard's show. They've done this without firing a single shot. So they have, in a sense, nonviolently overthrown us.
Right.
So can't we nonviolently overthrow their asses out of our existence?
I'd be.
Isn't there?
I'd be all ears in a meeting. Let's say there was a meeting of like-minded guys like us. You know, I don't know. We could have like 10, 15, 20 guys there. I don't care. But I would speak for the fact that we're out of options. Okay, we're never going to control the media. We're never going to control the arms of propaganda that they control. We're never going to control the money. Right? They're not giving that up. So tell me what our viable options are other than taking what it is that we want and that we are essentially have a right to take. In other words, when I was in Boy Scouts, we played this game called Capture the Flag. Okay? And it was my first introduction, really, to rough play. Okay, Capture the Flag is pretty straightforward if you guys know what it is, right? You got two groups of guys, and, you know, one group starts out with a flag, and basically you just got to go take it. And, you know, when I was a good kid. I was a gentle soul, you know. And you get a few good hard bumps and a few good elbows, and you pretty quickly figure out, oh, I see what this is about. So that's all. We're dealing with people that are they play rough. So, you know, what else can I say? I've used all the metaphors I can use.
Let me kick it over to Jeremy just a second. Then we're gonna take Mike and get his comments, but. The crux of their power is money, right? So, you're giving philosophical arguments still. We're not really getting to the strategy, like a strategy we can discuss on the air here that I think would be more effective. I'm just that we need to talk about what that strategy would be. We need to be able to talk about what that strategy – it needs to be a strategy that – is going to be effective. I don't necessarily think that what you might be alluding to, and I don't want to say that, but is going to be effective because we don't have really the manpower for it. We don't have, in the current state. So what do we do right here, right now? You know, with us, with just a few guys talking. So,
well, William, you were going to go to Jeremy. Why don't you go to him and see if he can clarify what I said?
No, I'm clear on what you said. We're just not really quite getting to – you're using good metaphors. It's fine. But how does it apply in this situation, right? We're dealing with a little more of a complicated situation than a schoolyard bully, sir.
Well, okay, let me use another situation. Okay, so, you know, we have a shoplifting epidemic out here in California, right? Because essentially, you know, I mean, how many things can you shoplift that are worth over $950? Okay, so they basically just legally sanctioned shoplifting, right? Now, why don't we flip that around and say, let's make shoplifting the death penalty. So do you think shoplifting would go down if shoplifting was the death penalty? And that, by the way, any citizen could immediately be assumed or presumed to be deputized if he was to stop shoplifting, right? Now, how do you think shoplifting would go down if that was the case? So, you know, how many more metaphors do you need? You know, we can't talk about stuff on the air, but yeah, we got to make more
That's a situation where you talk to the sheriff and you convince the sheriff to start deputizing people, and they are doing that at some spots. Let's get with Jeremy's thoughts, and then let's get Mike.
Well, first of all, I mean, the Christian response to this is Martin Luther and the Jews and their lies. And, you know, that's burn the synagogues down and push these people off into the ghettos and get them out of our society. But what we're facing in this situation, let's go with the schoolyard bully scenario. We're in a scenario where the schoolyard bully is being empowered by all of the teachers and the school system itself. So you push back physically, and the FBI comes and visits you. So, I mean, the only other thing to do would be militias of men that would strike terror in the hearts of the FBI if they tried to raid your home. And this is even beyond the sheriff thing. You know, that's the only other thing, because you take a small town or a city where white men take power, they'll bring the feds in. So you have to, you know, strike terror in the hearts of the feds where they're afraid to come and raid your house. And that's hard to do. It's going to take a lot of coordination. The coordination that it would take online, they would be able to infiltrate that and maybe, you know, put a stop to it before. But, you know, that's it. The schoolyard bully is empowered by the teachers and the school system in that scenario. That's where we're at now. And we've seen this. We've seen it with Mark Houck and with many other people that have pushed back against the system. Even the people that shot into Breonna Taylor's house in Louisville, you know, they were declared not guilty by the Louisville courts. But the feds came in and charged them with hate crimes and drug them out of their homes and arrested them and brought them into federal trial. So the federal government has to collapse. It has to be collapsed, or it has to collapse before we can really attain power.
I would just add to this. Okay, so, you know, yes and no to, mostly yes to all those things, but it doesn't mean that you still can't punch the schoolyard bully right in the face. Even though the teachers are going to take it beside, doesn't matter, he's still got to get punched, you know, along the way. That's all.
Well, and just what I'm saying is that the FBI needs to be afraid to raid people's houses. They need to be afraid to come here to people's homes because they may face a militia that will push them down by force. That's the most I've ever Fed posted on the air, but it is what it is. And until that happens, because these people only understand force, they've demonstrated that very clearly.
Correct.
All right, let's get Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting.
I don't shop Costco, but I hear that they're putting a Death Star on the Bud Light signs, which means that they're not going to be restocking Bud Light. And it seems to me that would be a kind of a soft war that needs to be implemented if you could get people to do that, and I think it needs to go against all Semitic cultures because Islam is a big political system as well. And there's a former physics professor from Terribly Slow University, as he called it, Tennessee State University, that started looking at all the metadata analysis he could do for the last, I don't know, 16, 17 years since I first heard about him. But he's got a webpage called Political Islam. And it shows how Christians have been gaslighted over things like the Spanish Inquisition and the Crusades, and how they defended themselves eventually after hundreds of years of enslavement of up to a million people being kidnapped out of Europe, mostly in a lot of cases blonde virgins, and it took that, you know, quite a long while for them to unite against that and go save just a remnant of Christianity in the Middle East, which is still struggling to be preserved. And there's probably no telling how much stuff is yet to be uncovered that was buried during that time, where Christians decided to bury stuff to keep it from being burned and destroyed by Islam. And I have to wonder who created Islam, you know.
Muslims and Jews are best friends. I mean, that's in history.
In a lot of cases.
I would just retort to that. You know, in the situation you're talking about, Charles the Hammer was the government. And, you know, he empowered the Christian white men to fight back against the brown Muslims. But
that's
in the situation we're talking
about.
Right, but in the example we're talking about, Charles the Hammer would go against his own people. Like, the government is not going to back us up. As a matter of fact, they're going to come down on us when we fight against the system in the form of FBI raids.
I was just about to say that this Charles Martel and pushing the Muslims out of Europe was such a great example to look at to see what a model would be for how we could fight back. And then you mentioned that Charles Martel empowered the white men, and Jeremy, you kind of brought a sad reality into the forefront. This is a more difficult situation.
It is. It's as if the powers behind Charles Martel were against their own people and not letting them push the Muslims out. And if you try to go,
and they're profiling
all
of us. Well, they're profiling all of us with all this technology. So we got to be really tech savvy in how we organize, if there is any way to organize. At some point, when they push hard enough, you're going to get a lot of simultaneous, I believe, leaderless resistance. But in guerrilla warfare type situations,
but
in different ways.
at the end of the day, the FBI needs to be afraid to raid a home. They need to be scared to do that. And they're not. The system empowers and the people aren't willing to fight back.
If I could give an example, the media totally ignored what almost became another Waco in Houston, Texas. This youngster was thrown into Florida's child protective system like 6 months before his 18th birthday, and he was tech-savvy enough that he figured out how to download an anonymous browser like Xinter, and he would go to somewhere where the cell phone signal was messed up, like he would go to a merry-go-round or someplace with an electric bus, and he could pop that SIM chip out of the phone and do the Wi-Fi browsing, and with that anonymous browser, found out where his dad was in Texas, and he hitchhiked there, saved the money up and hitchhiked, and got there without being detected. He screwed up because he put SIM chip back in his phone. He thought he could, I guess, be emancipated. The Houston police raided the place with a tank. Unfortunately, the gate was unlocked, and this it was a like a hostel with many homes at a former tower site. They kicked in the doors of all these people that were basically, you know, one step away from homeless, and had them on the ground, bloody knees and all this. They had the dad, you know, hogtied for over an hour in the Texas heat, and the media never covered it one bit. They ended up losing, you know, with egg on their face because, you know, after going around kicking in all the doors, where's the hostage, where's the hostage? There was no hostage. They tried to throw the kid into the adult jail, and the adult jail said, running away is not a crime. We can't put him in jail. They took him to juvie. He couldn't go into juvie. So it ended up, they ended up flying somebody from Florida to take the kid back because they're getting $400 a day. The media didn't cover it at all. So when somebody gets raided these days, like, you know, Randy Weaver style, the media doesn't even necessarily cover it. They're just sitting there repeating whatever they get from the public relations officer at the state police or police state. So we're going to have to, you know,
so it,
factor that in.
So it's worth a little input at this point about this idea of what they what they do. These SWAT team type raids, no knock warrants. They gather 15 to 20 guys, right? That's the way it works. 10, 12, 15, 20 dudes go to one place to get one person as a rule, right? So what I said years ago is, okay, two can play at that game. In other words, if they can only do that and take out one person at a time, they're not going to do that. Sorry about that noise. God, crazy motorcycles driving down the road. So I guess it's my way of saying they can only do that one at a time, two at a time. They're never going to do it to, like, the hundreds of thousands or millions that will be out there. And right now my best guesstimate is there are probably in the low millions of people across this country. Now, they're in different places, and they're, quote, not organized now, and they're maybe disjointed. But there can be no doubt, because of the Internet and because of the sentiment out there, you can see it on Instagram and Twitter and so forth, that I have no doubt about the fact that we are way beyond the hundreds of thousands or into the millions of people that are, like, pissed off, red-pilled, and so forth. And they just keep pushing this shit. They're going to get more and more people to become violent. And so this raiding people's houses one at a time is not a winning strategy for them. So I don't know.
All right, hey.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Look, hey, Mike, thanks for the call. I got two more callers stacked up. I got to get to.
Well, just watch out for more gaslighting.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. All right. We got Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, I had an idea for a book. It's called The World's Greatest Programs. You know, so
program.
Yeah, the world's greatest program. So every program in history, you'd have a little cartoon of, like, the merchant character getting kicked out of some country and the reason why, you know. But 140 or 300 times? You know, so just kind of like a big kind of nice illustrated book of each time, just a page each time and who did it and why. You know, have all that. You know,
it would be a great book. One page on all the 109 page book of all of the, well, at least of the, you know, big ones. I think those were the big ones, and there were smaller ones that added up to a lot more, 359 or something like that.
Yeah,
kicked out of cities and other localities. Yeah, 109-page book. Perfect, Dan. So, you know what? Go for it. Write that book.
Each time that you'd have a little illustration of the merchant character, just like them kicking him out, you know? Anyway, but if you look up the exclusion clause in Norway and in the Norwegian Constitution, I thought it happened in 1200, but this one was in 1814. So from 1814 to about 1840 or something, Jews and Jesuits and all Masonic orders were banned from Norway. So Norway's a good case study of, they obviously, they were Lutheran and basically following what Martin Luther, I mean, basically yeah. You tell any country that's Lutheran. So it's kind of interesting how, and it's a smart thing to do because they should be considered like criminal mafia groups, I think. You know, because they're...
Yeah, Semitism should be a crime. It should be outlawed.
Yeah.
Semitism itself should be outlawed.
Yeah.
We need shirts. We need somebody to make some shirts. Well,
yeah,
I mean, we can make shirts ourselves. Just order the shirt. Semitism is a crime. So...
Well, again, though, like, if you even had 100 people, let's say, just say 100 people are pissed off enough to form militias... Okay. It would only take 5 or 6 instances of the FBI trying to raid someone's house and then getting put down physically for them to decide they don't want to do that anymore. It would only take just a few instances of that. And the trouble of that is getting people organized and willing to do it. I'm in Bible thumping, God fearing, you know, Jesus loving corn country here. And I can't think of 5 guys that would form a militia and do that. That's the problem.
Well,
people willing to do that?
It's because it's not Jesus-loving country. It's Judeo-Christian-loving country, from what I've seen.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You don't even have to organize them against the Jews. You could just organize these people against child trannies and CRT.
I got one more caller I got to get to.
All right.
Thanks buddy. I appreciate the call. All right, we got Jason in Colorado. Jason, welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Yep. What we need to do here is work stoppage. Just everybody go to your tribe and that, and just don't go to work for 2 weeks until they reform it. And if they can't do that, then we just start over.
All right, Jason, sorry you got cut off, but we're at the end of the show here, and thank you for your input. Call back next time. And thanks, everybody. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Thank you, Jeremy and Paul, for contributing. Really appreciate it. Have a great night. Talk to you later.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.